This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The fourth, the final, the money hour of the Rob Brown Show. The final hour of the week goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you here on the Fan Upstate. Robin the Great One Lonzo with you.
I just thought about it. There may be someone in the car. There are a bunch of people in the car listening to the show right now, approaching train tracks. And that might scare them half to death. Admittedly, this morning, I have to go across train tracks, and there's no sign, there's no nothing there. You're just going across train tracks, and I saw what I thought was a headlight, and it was a train. So I can't imagine what it would have felt like when I was going across the tracks if I would have heard the train sound.
I mean, what it would have said to me is, oh, somebody just sent Rob Brown a great text on the show. Somebody obviously just sent a text that I should be paying attention to. I think that's what it would say to me. But I'm much like I am with football, ball security, playing to the bit. Make sure you know what's important, which is the security of the product.
Can we please not go back to the last? Can we go forward? We're a forward thinking kind of place. Let's just go move forward.
I am thinking forward. I'm thinking forward to no more fumbles for Aaron Jones. That's what I'm thinking forward to. I'm committed to making sure my running backs are all in for ball security. We're joined on the show now from the Moving the Chains pod by our guy, John Epps. John, before we talk a little high school football here, buddy, in the last segment, we played a clip from Vikings running back Aaron Jones, who has been suffering from a little case of the dropsies the last few weeks. And a reporter said, hey, have you been doing anything to work on not fumbling away the football? And he said, yeah, I've been carrying my kids, my baby. I've been carrying my baby around like a football, because if I can carry that ball and I can carry it confidently, I feel better about the ball. To which I said, you're not really committed to ball security unless you're letting your wife blitz the A-gap and knock you into the wall every now and then, you know, put the head across the shoulder, put you into the couch. If you're not doing that, you're not getting any better. Carrying a football around doesn't help you. You got to take a little contact and keep that baby secure if you want me to buy into the fact that you're about ball security. I don't think it's that outlandish of a concept, John Epps. It's all ball security or get off my field.
I agree. You know, unless people around the house are walking around trying to punch the baby out, which really hope that's not the case, I don't think he's doing them much of a service.
Yeah.
Wow. Again, I'm distancing myself from all this talk. I am appalled. That's what I am, appalled.
I mean, again, do you think that when he approaches the line and a defensive end coming off the edge sees him trying to get an angle and that ball's right there, that defensive end is going to be punching that ball, is going to be grabbing, is going to be throwing fists trying to knock that ball off. If he's not able to confidently protect that baby in his arm from contact, then how do I trust that he's confidently protecting the football from contact? This is just basic football 101, John Epps. It's the first drill as a running back you run to practice every day is taking a hit and hanging on.
High and tight.
High and tight, man. 5 points of contact. Tuck that thing away. Keep it safe and secure.
What is wrong with you people?
That ball should be as precious as your baby.
Remember how Mike Allstott carried the football? Do it like that if you got to.
Mike Alstott would run through a wall while holding his baby, and I think he would do that in real life.
He could cradle all of us and still would. Yeah,
possibly, R.E.S.
John Epps is here from the Moving the Chains podcast. You can find their work on their website at movingchains.com. No G in that one, movingchains.com. It is the same handle on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can find the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever major podcaster founder. If you're a high school football fan in the great state of South Carolina, the Moving the Chains pod has got to be your number one source of news and information. John Epps, it is upper and lower state championship weekend in the landscape of high school football. We got a couple of local teams that are still active. Before we talk about some of the games coming up this weekend, how have the playoffs been in high school football this year? Because I've obviously been following along with you guys from afar, and we've had some bangers, man.
There have been some great games. I think most of the favorites are still here. Most. Not all. Big shakeup at the 4A level. You know, some people around the Pickens County area like to call this time of year the Daniel Invitational. Well, that's over. South Point knocked out Daniel last week. That was not really a surprise, but normally you see Daniel in the Upper State Championship, not this year. It's been some good football, some good performances. We saw a single game state record for rushing yards in the game last week from Mason Pickett Hicks at South Point. It's been some fun stuff going on.
All right, let's get into some of the big games from around the area and from around the state. We have had a couple of folks that have checked in this morning, John, asking when you were going to talk about Fairfield Central at Clinton High School. Give me a little breakdown on that one.
Yeah, this is going to be a really fun ball game. This is going to be over at Clinton High School. Both teams have had a great year. Fairfield Central, feel like they've flown under the radar a little bit. Their schedule has been okay, but not great. But they are a really good team. They're led by Tydarius Greer, very good running back. Running back over there at Fairfield Central. They have done a really good job. Chauncey Turner on the defensive side has been really good for them. But this Clinton Red Devil team, they are a big-time problem. They are playing some good defense right now. And I said most of the favorites are still around. One of those favorites was Batesburg-Leesville. They've been number one in the 2A polls pretty much all year. That was a tied game, 14-14 at the half. The Red Devils came out second half, smoked them, win that game 31-14, really just dominated the final 24 minutes of that ball game. I think this will be a really good game. I think the Griffins have got what it takes to win this game. Unfortunately, being in Clinton, this is going to be a high-energy crowd. It's a Red Devil program that's been really good the last few years. Been plagued by injuries. Injuries have held them back a little bit. They're healthy right now. It seems like a little bit of team of destiny for the Red Devils. I think Clinton's got a great chance to win this and go to the Weekend of Champions next week.
All right, let's move on to another one that's from the region. Gaffney is on the road at Northwestern.
Yeah, this is – you don't get two bigger names than Gaffney and Northwestern. This is going to be a great ball game as well. Gaffney, you know, they had a streak earlier in the year where their offense was just downright putrid. They won some overtime games against some teams they probably shouldn't have been in that close of a game with. And then they played the region title a few weeks ago against Spartanburg, and boy, did they come alive. Won that game 27-24. Looked really good in that ball game. They've looked good in the playoffs. Jaden McDowell, running back, is now finally healthy. They missed him. Javon Gilmore seems to have things figured out a little bit better at the quarterback position. He had a little bit of a slump, but he's back now. But Northwestern is a machine, and this is going to be over in Rock Hill as well. It's going to be a big crowd over there. Finley Polk, quarterback at Northwestern, he's played a lot of football for them. I don't know. I think Dutch Fork could beat Northwestern. Other than that, I don't know if there's anybody else in the state that can beat them. I think the Trojans are that good. Gaffney's going to find a way to make this a really good ball game, and that's scary because in close ball games, they typically win. But I got to go with the Trojans here. I think they are just well-rounded on all phases of the football field.
Spartanburg, John, is up at Dutch Fork in a showdown.
Yeah, this is a rematch from back in August, week one, if you will, second game for those programs. Dutch Fork won 24-7 up in Spartanburg. I think Spartanburg is a better team now than they were before. They've gotten the offense figured out a little bit. Defense has been there for Coach Hodge all year long. I think they'll be pretty competitive in this game. But the Dutch Fork defense, it's just – Kevin and I talked about this on our pregame show Tuesday. I just don't see how – and not just Spartanburg. And we saw Irma, one of the best offenses in the state, score 14 points. I don't see how a team scores 20 points against Dutch Fork. And unfortunately for Spartanburg, I think they're in the same boat. You know, I think they can have a great game and score 14, maybe 17 points. I just don't think it's enough. I think Dutch Fork wins a low-scoring, just rock fight. And I think Dutch Fork just has enough on offense. Ethan Offing at quarterback's playing well right now. I think they scored just enough to win this game. And that defense, this is a good game to go to if you hadn't seen Dutch Fork play, because this defense is a high level. It's down in Irmo. They've got some Division I talent over there. Josh Smith going to Carolina next year. Really good team. This defense is just too good.
South Point at Westside.
This is probably the game of the night, guys. Westside has been world beaters for now 2 years, defending state champs. You got Cutter Woods. He's also headed to Columbia next week or next year. Now, don't know what's going on with Shamarius Bowmore or Marnie Weaver. They were committed to Appalachian State until this week. I've got some theories in my head. I think, they may be staying in state. I've got nothing to go off on that. That's just an idea that I have in my head. But extremely good talent. Rob, you're certainly aware of how good those two guys are, Bowmore and Weaver. They've been doing it on offense, defense, special teams. But this South Point squad's different. They're not going to be intimidated by anybody. They went to Daniel last week, beat them 49-35. Mason Pickett hits 486 rushing yards. That was some incredible blocking by a good offensive line and by the wide receivers on the outside as well. Very impressive. This is going to be a shootout, I think. I think Westside's the better team. I'm going to say it's going to be an upset, though. I think South Point finds a way to win this game. I think Westside has not really slipped up all year, and I think we might see them hit a little adversity tonight. See if they can overcome it. I think they are the better team in this game, but I just feel like there's an upset on the horizon here tonight over in Anderson. It should be an awesome ball game. Incredible talent all over the field.
Also, let's point out the fact that Cutter Woods might be the best quarterback name we have heard in a hot minute.
He's great. You look at Lenore Sellers. He was awesome a couple years ago at Florence. See what he's doing now in Columbia. Cutter Woods is a really good talent as well. It's a good get by Carolina, I think. Cam McMillan on the South Point side, though, very good quarterback in his own right over there. He's a big kid. They've got another guy. I think he's committed to South Carolina too. JV and Occurrence plays on the defensive side of the ball. Big kid as well. They are a physical team, and it's two teams that are very similar, very talented, and they carry some swagger. It was fun seeing those South Point guys get after it against Daniel last week. It's going to be I expect maybe a little bit of a chippy game. It's going to be some good emotions in that one.
By the way, you are probably uniquely positioned to answer this question. John Epps from the Move in the Chains podcast. They join us every Friday at this time to talk high school football. You guys obviously follow recruiting, but do so more from the high school standpoint, seeing where these guys are being recruited by and going to. We were talking a little bit of early signing day yesterday. Clemson, depending on what ranking you looked at, checking anywhere from 26 to 33. In fact, a couple of metrics had them behind Florida State's early signing class. And obviously, we're a long way from February, National Signing Day, when the class gets finalized. And you'll have some guys not that signed already, but some guys that are expected to go one place will flip over, et cetera. But I think it's interesting that over the past couple of weeks, compared to the last handful of years, the number of guys that you bring up going out, good talent, and looked at by Carolina, going to Carolina, committed to, visiting Carolina, et cetera, versus, and you're a Clemson guy, to kind of pull back the curtain a little bit here, I'm hearing a lot more of these high-level talent guys being mentioned alongside the Carolina name than the Clemson name. Is that just recency bias because the Gamecocks are having a hell of a season right now? Or is it, in your opinion, as somebody who's following high school football around the state, is that tangible to you too?
I think it's very tangible. I think it's something that can be said for the past few years. You know, South Carolina, and there's opinions right on both sides. South Carolina, I think, is recruited in-state a little better than Clemson. They've landed on some guys recently, whereas Clemson may not have pursued as hard. I think Lenore Sellers is one of those names. And, you know, what that reasoning is, I don't know. I know, you know, Clemson gets a lot of guys out of Georgia. You know, they're right there on the doorstep. But it is interesting to see a lot of the talent that, especially here this year, there's some good talent. There's two wide receivers as well going to Carolina this year. Jaden Sellers, Jordan Gidron out of Ridgeview High School, they're going to Carolina. Jaden Sellers is the younger brother of Lenore's, so that makes sense. And, you know, Cutter Woods is a great quarterback. He's a three-star guy coming out. Clemson got a three-star guy out of the Tampa area, you know, I think 2 weeks ago. So, you know, why you pick a three-star guy out of Florida instead of three-star guy? For us, it's like, man, you can take the home state guy, you know, take the guy that we know and we've seen play. But, you know, they've got a method to it. And as a Clemson guy, I sometimes question Dabo, but I can't do it. I can't do it. The guy knows what he's doing. There's a method to what he's doing. I trust him. But as a Clemson fan and doing the high school football, it's hard to watch Carolina sometimes because I'll admit it. I pull against Carolina. Every week I pull against Carolina.
Rivalry, baby.
I want to see him win. I want to see him go 0-12. But I see guys like Sellers. Yeah, I see guys like Nick Amon-Wari. Was it Irma? Like, I want to see those guys do well because I saw them play in high school. So it's tough. I like to see more of those guys at Clemson.
I respect that. John Epps from the Moving the Chains podcast. You can find them online at their website, movingchains.com. No G in that. Same handle on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And their podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. They'll be taking you all the way through the state championship game, and you'll get some recruiting news and notes from them. My man, good to see you, big dog. Where are you headed tonight, by the way?
I'm actually going to go to Simpsonville tonight, Hillcrest High School. We'll see Belton Honeypath play Mountain View. Now, for Clemson, Marquez Henderson at BHP, commit there, going up against Jalen McGill. I know he was favoring Tennessee, so that's going to be two high-level running backs going at it. They both should be getting 30-plus carries. Should be another high-scoring affair. I'm really looking forward to it.
John Epps from the Moving the Chains pod, my man. Great to talk to you. We'll do state championship next week, fella.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Always, John Epps from the Moving the Chains pod. They join us on Fridays at 9 o'clock to talk high school ball. When we come back, we elevate a level to the college game, and we do so with Chapel Fowler, who's going to talk to us a little bit about his perspective on the ACC championship. We'll get his thoughts on the early signing period for Clemson and more. That's next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Tomorrow evening in Charlotte, North Carolina, at Bank of America Stadium, there's a little football game going down as the Clemson Tigers and the Southern Methodist University Mustangs, Los Tigres and the Ponies, square off. You're really jacking up my promo here, Big E. All right?
No.
get set to determine who will wear the crown of Atlantic Coast Conference champions for 2024. And more importantly than that, will guarantee themselves a place in the college football playoffs because, and we've talked about this a little bit before, SMU could theoretically lose and still get in, but there is no guarantee, meaning two teams fighting for their postseason lives tomorrow up in Charlotte, North Carolina. I will be there in person to cover that game, as will our next guest who covers Clemson Athletics for the state. My dude, I got the pleasure to finally meet, shake a hand in person at ACC Media Days this year, and I know that you've heard this young man's voice across pretty much every show that we've ever had on this station, but making his Rob Brown Show debut bright and early in the AM. I don't think we got him out of bed too early. It is 9:20, Chapel Fowler. I needed you to be up and with it a little bit by now, but I'm glad you're here, brother. Thanks for making your debut today, man.
Yeah, happy to be on with you guys. Like you said, I've been on a few times, a few shows, but not this one. So excited to see how it goes. It'll determine if I'll come back or not.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, the vibes on this show, the vibes on this show dramatically different from probably anything you've ever done before. You have heard me screaming at ACC Media Days in the past. Welcome to the career.
You know, and unlike that other show, we don't have to use booster chairs to get up really high. So you can see. I'm talking to you, Cole. Talking to you.
No holds barred. No holds barred. Chapel Fowler joining us here on the show. I want to get into the ACC championship game here in just a minute, but let me start with asking you about yesterday, early signing day. Kind of interesting. We've had a couple of callers that have reacted so far because the early signing class, this is not February, this isn't National Signing Day. We got a lot of work between here and that Valentine's Day-ish date, Chapel, but checking in, depending on what publication you look at, anywhere from 26th to 33rd nationally, the blue chip ratio not great with no 4 or 5 stars signing on yesterday. So in terms of both yesterday's signing class and knowing that we've got till mid-February before the class is finalized, give me your overall thoughts on where Clemson's at in the recruiting process right now.
Yeah, I'd say fans have probably gotten used to, I think the quote Dabo likes to use is, you know, the hay is in the barn. You know, they've got anywhere from their 17 to 18 to 22 guys, and often they're signing those in December, and then February signing day is just kind of it doesn't matter. You know, they don't even do that big signing day show they used to do because that second period is such an afterthought to so many people. But I think you look at the smaller class, obviously 70 commitments is part of that. You know, Dabo talks about this being a small class, but I mean, they certainly were planning on taking more, but before, you know, 6 guys since late August alone flipped to other Power Five schools. So I think you're seeing a little bit of Clemson's stance in terms of NIL stuff maybe finally bearing out. You know, it really wasn't an issue. They're able to get a lot of really good guys in the last 3 classes kind of in this quote-unquote NIL era. I mean, even last year you go, start 4-4, finish 8-4, and you're still signing Sammy Brown, Bryant Wesco, TJ Moore, Ashton Hampton, who's probably going to start on Saturday or be part of that rotation. A lot of really good, talented, solid dudes, same for the last 2 classes before that. But I mean, yeah, it was interesting to see that number. You know, Clemson is routinely touted how they've had a top 15 class in one of the 3 major recruiting sites that kind of track that from a team basis for something like, I don't know, 15 straight years now. That little nugget was missing from the kind of stuff they sent out promoting the class on Wednesday. And for obvious reasons, like this is the class, I think it's 26 in the 247 composite, which is the one that I usually use that our paper uses to kind of value stuff. Top heavy, you know, there's a few guys in there that I'm sure fans are excited about and should be between, you know, Amari Adams, South Carolina guy who was trying to get, Florida State, USC, all these schools are trying to flip him, and it didn't happen. And Braden Jacobs, the son of the NFL running back, and a few other guys. But it's not your usual Clemson class by any means. And I think that's really noticeable.
Is this because we at the beginning of the year, Chapel, we asked Clemson fans to define success for the 2024 season so that at the end of the year we could kind of have a referendum, and you can make that referendum about just the season. You can make the referendum about, you know, is the Dabo way still going to work in college football in 2024? Whatever you wanted to make the referendum on. And there have been a number of folks today that have called and texted the show and said that they feel like there's a slowdown happening, and they kind of place it there. Is this, do you think, the result of Dabo? I'm not saying not using, but maybe not being as willing to go full throttle portal NIL as other coaches, Shane Beamer, for instance, being one of them, are. Do you think this is a result of a season that, listen, a lot of schools would love to be 9-3 and playing for a Power 5 conference championship game, but it is a disappointing year for what Clemson fans have accepted as the standard of the last few years. Is that the result? Is it a result of that? Is it a result of something we're not seeing? Is it a result of South Carolina accelerating their program? Is it a result of Dabo not buying into the portal in NIL? Or is it just, hey, it's cyclical college football. Welcome to real life.
Yeah. it's interesting, like, how that kind of thought has changed, you know, after the Georgia season opener. You know, we're on way on, you know, one end of the spectrum. Like, this is a program that's in a lot of trouble, and this portal stance has really hurt them. And then there's kind of like a reclamation or a understanding that, hey, you know, maybe developing high school talent, you know, that pays off. You know, they go on that big winning streak. They're scoring all these points per game at the same time. Like Florida State, who was the portal darling last year, goes like starts 1-9 or whatever they finished, 2-10. So those kind of two things contrasted, I think, maybe built up some momentum in Clemson's direction, just in terms of like, hey, you know, if everybody or almost everybody is heavy on portal now. You kind of see this in college basketball too. Like teams that kind of zig where others zag can find some success. So I think you've seen that a little bit. But then down the stretch, I mean, to lose to Louisville, to South Carolina, they're in a spot right now where like this, I mean, there's so many referendums in any given season. So you kind of take it with a grain of salt. But like Saturday does a lot. Like in favor or against, you know, the quote unquote Clemson way right now. We know that's going to change next year a little bit with the revenue sharing coming in. Dabo's been very public about, you know, the percentage of that $20.5 million that's going to go to football players. I think the standard is like 75%. Me and others, you know, have heard that Clemson's commitment to football in terms of percentage of that $20.5 million is going to be pretty well above that. Probably one of the highest nationally. So that will help. But NIL is still a thing. You know, there's still portal guys making plays against you. I mean, South Carolina basically won against Clemson 2 years in a row in Clemson with portal guys making the plays. You know, Rattler throws the juice wells for a first down in 2022. And then Demetrius Knight picks off Klubnik on Saturday. So, you know, those players can make plays too. So, yeah, this one's I think Saturday is a lot in favor or against it. It's kind of be like the third big swing we've seen on this point this year. But it's important, you know, how you construct your roster is everything. So this like Saturday night alone, I think is going to kind of stamp this season as a success or a failure, probably in most fans' minds. And I think that's totally fair.
Yeah, no, I agree. In fact, the answer when we did this composite at the beginning of the year, the answer that we got when I kind of brought them all together and averaged them out was effectively win the conference, make the playoff, and win at least a game. Now, winning the conference, if Clemson sneaks in and grabs that 4 seed, which I know there's got to be a ton of chaos for it to happen, that counts as far as I'm concerned. Getting a bye would count as a win in the first round. If they don't, likely going in as the 12 seed, likely going on the road to South Bend, Indiana to play the Notre Dame Irish. We'll hang on because we may be getting to that down the road. So let's focus in on tomorrow. There is one thing about this game that I find very interesting, and I'll give you my thought on it. Tell me if I'm off base or not here. Kevin Jennings, a quarterback for SMU, who has replaced Preston Stone outright and did so about week 5-6 of the season. I've been calling him all day. He's a skinny Lenore Sellers, right? Like he's got the ability to run. He's used the legs. He only goes 184 versus Sellers, who goes 242 and runs like Jerome frickin' Bettis for no reason. Jennings is faster. He's more slippery. He's also a guy that's not going to get a ton of yak yards. The good news is, you saw kind of the offense that SMU's going to run because it's somewhat similar to what South Carolina threw at you. The bad news is Sellers busted you up for $166. So what does Clemson do to adapt and be ready for Kevin Jennings tomorrow night?
Yeah, it's a weird spot because, like, I don't think you look at their defensive game plan against South Carolina and you're not disgusted. You don't think they, you know, totally missed the ball, like on how they defended him, like the number of times they had him in the backfield, they had gotten the pressure they wanted and just did not tackle him. You know, scheme is one thing, but at some point it comes down to finishing tackles in Clemson. I think Sellers was credited with forcing 18 missed tackles by himself, according to Pro Football Focus. And like in the press box, it felt like more. It felt like five on every single snap. So, yeah, it's interesting because, like, I was interested to see how the matchup looked, Clemson defense versus South Carolina offense, because obviously, you know, that group has struggled against the run significantly in a lot of big spots this year. And really, like, the degree to which they were swarming him, I thought was – I mean, it surprised me. I didn't think they would be able to get that much pressure on him, and to have him so dead to rights up until the moment he slips away, which makes it all worthless, right? So I think, I mean, I don't know. I'm really surprised Sammy Brown sat most of the fourth quarter. I think that was a really questionable decision, certainly one that, you know, I'm not the coach, but I don't agree with that. I think in the first, second quarters, the way he was kind of hawking down guys, he was really one of the only second-level people who were staying with Sellers and had that level of physicality and speed combo to actually bring him down, where he was just pushing his way through arm tackles with everybody else. So, you know, I think some three linebacker sets, they've served the team well this year when they've used them, which has been infrequently, which has, again, been a frustration of people for valid reasons. But, yeah, I mean, I'm just imagining, like, SMU was watching that film and being like, oh, yeah, like, we got some – there's going to be some opportunities here for this guy. And, yeah, heck of a quarterback, Kevin Jennings. I'm excited to see him play on Saturday, like, in person for the first time. The stats are impressive, the deep ball, like, the yards per attempt, everything. And I love a running quarterback, so I'm excited to see that go down. And I'd imagine that's a spot where SMU feels really good and totally warranted.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's flip it over, talk about the offensive side of the football for this Clemson Tiger football team taking on SMU. Listen, Cade Klubnik last week was the reason this was a game. Cade Klubnik and his legs, the reason that this was a game. You kind of knew what you were getting. I think South Carolina has the best defensive end tandem maybe in all of college football this year. SMU doesn't really have the same dogs, certainly across the front seven, that South Carolina does. So do we think that the Riley offense is a little bit more balanced? Are we going to see a little bit more Cade Klubnik standing in the pocket? Or after last week, do you think Dabo gets his way? Maybe you drop a little bit more design runs. How does this offense make sure that you're wearing an ACC crown tomorrow night?
Yeah, I mean, I think the inefficiency of Phil Moffa down the stretch has been such a huge like struggle point for them. And one of the reasons they've kind of had these poor offensive outputs, like you look at their last three, four games against power conference teams, you know, take out the Citadel, like Virginia Tech, Pittsburgh, South Carolina. I mean, what it was, like 20, 21 points, 24 points, 14 points in against Pittsburgh, and they have something like, I don't know, 15 total yards of offense before that final game-winning drive featuring the Klubnik run. I think the ESPN broadcast was reporting that Moffitt had a shoulder injury that he was dealing with during that South Carolina game. You know, I think it's very fair to say he's not 100% healthy at this point. Again, nobody is what the coach answer would be. But that is not the same explosive dude that I saw ripping off 60, 70-yard runs at other points during this season. He played like 170-something snaps in a two-game period, and since then has just really, I mean, 20 carries, 66 yards against South Carolina. That's not the all-ACC running back that he was kind of projecting as earlier this year. So I think it's if they're going to want that ACC championship, it's another Cade game. Like it's Cade might end up with 85% of their total offensive yards or something like that, which he's done at points this year. And like, I mean, that kid just gets up every single time. I don't think he's like – I think he's missed like one snap of offense this year outside of like getting just going to the bench because they were up 20 points or whatever. He always gets back up, remarkably tough, more so than I thought he would be. You know, you see the frame, especially as a freshman, like he just, even last year, he just kept popping back up after every sack. So, yeah, I think it's air it out and let him do his thing on the ground. And if I were Clemson, I'd feel more confident about that than the run game right now. And again, one game, like, see what the matchup is and just scheme the heck out of that. Cade was really, like you said, the reason they were even close in the game against South Carolina. And I really think, you know, you take the interception like with a grain of salt when you consider all the other stuff, the way he got them to that point in the first place. I don't think it was a horrible game for him by like any means. He was really good on Saturday and he can be again, but his legs have been huge this year. And I think they will be again on Saturday. He probably needs something like 30, 40, 50 yards to get them in the point where they're winning the game.
Chapel Fowler covers the Clemson Tigers for the state. He will be up in Charlotte, North Carolina tomorrow night as Clemson takes on SMU with the ACC crown hanging in the balance. My man, it is great to have you on for the first time. I appreciate it. I would love to do it more often. And more importantly, what are we doing for the menu tomorrow night? Do we have it? Did you get it like a chicken or steak invite yet?
Yeah, I'm TBD on what's going to be in the press box. I'm going to show up hungry, but I don't know. I'm always like, I've stopped doing like sugary coffee soda stuff. So I'm just like a water and black coffee guy. So I don't really care much about the drink menu up there, but I'm ready for something because it's going to be a late night, as you know, from covering these things. If I go to bed at like 4, I think that's a win. So I'm going to have to get fueled up. So we'll see. We'll see what Charlotte and the ACC have to offer.
I respect it. Chapel Fowler making his Rob Brown Show debut, and we are damn glad to have him. Let's do it again, big fella. Appreciate you.
All right, sure thing. Thanks, guys. Appreciate
you. Got it. Chapel Fowler, you can follow him on X, and you probably should if you're a Clemson fan at Chapel Fowler, Chapelfowler. We are back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. All right, real quick, because people took time out of their day to drop us a voice note on the Ray Memorial Hotline. I got two that I want to real quickly respond to, and then we will take a look up and down the NFL's schedule for the weekend and get you set up for that. Let's start with, let's go with Ty. Ty went on the Ray Memorial Hotline yesterday and said this. Oh, I did the thing again, Lonzo. I did the thing again. See?
I almost think that should count as...
No, cause, okay. Of course.
All right.
Because you only got one more segment to tie the game. All right? Well, which I'm, you won't now because we're talking about it.
Right.
But I'm not. You never know. All right?
I'm going to win the week.
You're up 28-3 is all I'm saying. All right? Thank you very much, Ty. Appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for checking in. Here's the answer.
It just means more.
Sure. Why not? Yeah, that's the answer. Here's the answer. The answer is that the SEC and the Big Ten have a hell of a lot more money. That's what it is. They have more money now. They are getting more money. They will continue to get more money. And when they get more money, everybody benefits. And considering you get more money for succeeding in basketball, too, it is a worthwhile investment for the athletic departments to invest into basketball. Now, there are other elements of this as well. At Alabama, who knocked off North Carolina. Alabama went and hired Nate Oates. Nate Oates has been a miracle worker in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. That is a school that I can tell you, for having covered them for a very long time, did not give a rat's or hinda of parts about basketball until Nate Oates showed up and made them care about basketball. And now they fill up their basketball arena constantly, and they got a damn good basketball team. Auburn might be the best team in the country. Now, they did go on the road and lose to Duke. They were one of the two games that the ACC won in a challenge they used to dominate like the SEC did this year. Bruce Pearl shows up. They put a bunch of money into Auburn. Would you look at that? Auburn's got one of the, I'll say, no worse than top three teams in the country. And then you look at some of the other places, Arkansas, Missouri, Florida is on its way back up. Their recruiting's incredible on the basketball court right now. The reality is, college sports is a business, my dudes. It's just a business. And they gave the opportunity, by profiting in football, with conference realignment and all that, to put more money into the kitty that can be spread out more. Basketball is the next biggest revenue generator, so they have invested in that. And just like that, this is part of the reason why teams like Clemson and Florida State wanted out of the ACC. So they can go to the SEC and they can play in that conference, or they can go to the Big Ten and play in that conference, which also has developing basketball schools, and succeed there as well and make more March Madness money as well. It's all feathers on the same bird. At the end of the day, the goal in everything is to make more money. Bully Rye sent us a message.
Wait, all feathers on the same bird? I don't think I've ever heard that
before.
Well,
the expression is usually two wings, but they're on the same bird or something like that. I'm talking about all these different decisions.
You just made that up?
Yeah, I did for sure. Okay. I absolutely did. We have all these things. Why this, why that, why this, why that? And the answer is always.
No. I got money. I thought it was a good description. I just never heard it before.
I'm dumb and hadn't thought of something yet, so that's what I came up with on the fly.
Well, maybe 20 years from now, people will be saying that, and you just coined it.
I'm an influencer and innovator, people. I am an architect. I am a revolutionary. I am Rob freaking Brown.
Yeah, now you need to dye your tips of your hair, so.
Bully Rye. Listen to the self-promotion. Bully Rye checking in. Appreciate that. On the Ray Memorial Hotline, you can leave your thoughts as well to get them played on the air by going to the Audacy app, AUDACY, going to the Fan Upstate page, clicking the circle button with a microphone in it, and leaving your 30 to 60 second voice message. Now,
why do you throw Ohio State in there? I mean, I get the Alabama.
You're absolutely a beneficiary of this. You're a brand, dude.
But I know, I'm just curious.
You're a brand.
Because it's a brand, but I'm talking about this season in particular, they lost two games. I mean, by a total of 4 points.
Sure. Listen, the reality here is, and you pointed this out yesterday in a different conversation, but I think the point flies as well here. Sometimes these brands are in because they're damn good football teams. Georgia's beating everybody from like seven down with maybe an exception of a good game here and there, right? Like, I believe that. Some of these brands are in because they actually have a really good football team. Nobody's questioning if the Oregon Ducks deserve a spot. I'm not questioning if the Ohio State Buckeyes deserve a spot. They do.
They were ranked, in the top three almost the entire season. So I'm just saying.
So here is what I think. This will never happen.
And if they don't go to the playoff, I'm not going to get mad because they should have beat Michigan.
I would. They deserve a spot. Here's the biggest takeaway I would have from all this. It's twofold. Number one, Bully Rye, they have said the whole time, oh, it's the four best teams. Now 12 best teams, 12 best teams. That's not the problem. I'm fine with that concept. The problem is they have never once expounded on how they determine who those teams are. They have never once sat down and said, here are the metrics and the importance of those metrics that we are looking for. This is why I've said, Bully Rye, from the beginning, and I say now, and I continue to hearken on it, and I've picked it up in the last couple of weeks. You want to know what the best thing you can do for college football is? Number one, put a camera and a microphone in that room. Let us see it and hear the conversations. So that, two things. Number one, we as fans know what the hell is going on. And number two, schools can adapt. They can start massaging things to make sure they are meeting the metrics the committee wants and not worrying as much about the ones that are less important. And the second thing that you do in this spot is you expand the committee so that there are more voices putting more reasons to have more opinions in the table, and let's do a vote. Do it the way the AP poll has done it forever. Have 60 people in that room. Have 160 people. Have 1,000 people that submit a vote, and then let's tabulate them all so that every one of those metrics has a different amount of people weighing them all differently, and then we might have a shot at it.
You know why I got it right today? I went jitterbug on my hotkeys over here. I mean, it is. Look, you can see it from there.
Good lord, dude.
I told you.
You did go jitterbug.
Yeah, I moved them and I went jitterbug. I ain't making that mistake again. All right, the first thing that's X-ing is Audrey Plaza.
Okay, this is incredible. Audrey Plaza is trending because they just, I guess, arrested a young lady, and I use this term very loosely, a young lady down in Colombia who murdered at least an ex-husband, and they believe maybe some more down the line.
They're saying multiple murders.
Multiple murders that they connected to this woman. And she is the spitting image of Aubrey Plaza.
By the way, her nickname is the doll.
Yeah. And for the record, this is one of those things that it's very weird to say because this is how Rob Brown keeps ending up, with the exception of my wife. This is why I've been attracted to crazy women my whole life. I look at her and I go, she's adorable. And I'm kind of into that, you know? Like, I'm kind of into that. She is adorable. I get the name. But when they walked her in.
She is adorable. She's adorable. I completely agree with you.
I would have got is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Younger, dumber Rob Brown as opposed to older, dumber Rob Brown. Younger, dumber Rob Brown, I'd have got. That's just a fact. I'd have got murdered. All right.
Older Rob Brown probably would have got.
Still would have got God. Yeah, yeah, all right. Still would have got God. They showed the video of her perp walk and then her mugshot, and she's doing the like classic movie haunted witch look where she's like her head's down, but the eyes are staring up, and they are evil eyes. And she's got the like messy hair kind of draped over her face. And I looked, and I'm like, I get why murdered bros got it. I get it. I understand it. I get why those bros got. I do.
And the people who are saying Aubrey Plaza playing her in a movie would be perfectly cast.
Looks just like her.
They're right. They're right.
And for the record, big Aubrey Plaza guy.
All right. So am I. The next thing that's Xing is Bevo.
Bevo is Xing because the University of Texas requested permission from the Southeastern Conference to bring their live mascot, Bevo the Giant Walking Steak, to Atlanta for the SEC championship game, and the SEC said no, which makes sense because, you know, at the down at Texas, A, it's their own stadium, they can do what they want, but by and large, they've got the protocols all set and whatever. The handful of times they've brought Bevo on the road, there's almost always someone almost died. Bevo almost murdered Uga a few years ago. Bevo broke out of his corral the last time they brought him to an NFL stadium and almost took out a lady who was trying to get a selfie, almost got gored to the face by Bevo. Bevo's a problem outside of Austin, Texas. So the SEC said, no, you can't bring the 2-ton murder machine with spiky horns on the front to Atlanta, Georgia. Sorry, Texas. And the Texas fans are real mad about it. I'm sorry. If Bevo decides he's done being in the little bullpen over there, there's only one way to stop Bevo, Lonzo. If he goes on a murderous rampage, which he has come close multiple times, there's only one way to stop him, which is to murder him on live color television. That's it. That's the only way you're stopping a 3-ton murder machine.
Or, you know, it's the running of the bulls on national TV.
Yeah.
Which could be fun if you're not the person running.
If you're into the weird stuff, there are plenty of videos out there at the running of the bulls of people getting gored. It's not pretty, dudes.
All right. The next thing that's Xing is Jesse the Body Ventura.
I don't know why he's Xing.
This just broke. So, gotcha.
I don't know why he's Xing. Here's what I'm going to say. We played the audio earlier of good old JR Jim Ross doing the intro to last night's Thursday night football game. Jesse the Body Ventura is a weird bird. He's a weird dude. But damn it, that guy can't get you excited about stuff.
Speaking of which, he's going to be a part of the announced team for Saturday night's main event.
Really?
Yes. Bringing him back for that. I loved him on color. Listen, I really did because he's got that unique voice. He really does.
He's one of those guys that, like, away from wrestling, I wouldn't have anything to do with him. In wrestling, though, he's an all-time great, and there's no question mark about that.
And a snappy dresser.
Snappy dresser. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Follow me on Instagram. Follow me on social media, Twitter, whatever. I will be live at ACC Championship game tomorrow night in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'll be on the Fan Upstate page as well as my own page at the Rob Brown Show. If you're a Clemson fan, make sure you're following me there. I'll give you game diagnoses and breakdowns live from Bank of America Stadium. Y'all have a great weekend. Do not drink and drive. I will punch you directly in the face, and we will see you back here on Monday on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later!